From Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, chapter 5, verses 13 to 26. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of sinful nature are obvious: sexuality, immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Amen.
Right, before we all get comfy, can we just stand? Now, we've just sung a song there that talks about trading all of these nasty things. Now, if you just close your eyes for a second and think, 2019. Nasty things. Maybe an hardship, maybe in sickness, disappointments, relationships broken down. There's a story of a donkey falling into a well, and the farmer couldn't rescue the donkey. So he started shoveling muck into the well to bury the donkey. And the donkey would shake it off and put it under his feet. Now it's 2020. We're in a year of vision, a year of clarity, a year of expectation, a year of excitement. It can be whatever you determine it to be. But there's some things that you need to let go of and put under your feet from last year. You can't continue to take the things with you in the journey for this year. When I get some of my counselling clients come to me, sometimes I make them stand up. I say, do you know, you don't need to carry that anymore. Shake it off. So whatever you negatively don't need and want, shake it off and put it under your feet. And we're not talking about a spiritual exercise, we're talking about a practical with spiritual exercise. So let's see some shaking. Shake some stuff off. Wake yourself up. Shake it off. You don't want it. It's not coming into this year. It's under your feet. Praise God. It's under your feet. Stamp on its head. I'm not taking it with me. Depression, you're not coming. Anxiety, you're not coming. Disappointment, you're not coming. Whatever it is, shake it off and put it under your feet. And once you've stopped shaking and once you've stopped stamping, you can sit down. Still stamping. That's okay. Talking about joy. Joy is my strength. The joy of the Lord. Now, we heard from the passage there quite a bit of Galatians 5 there. But I only want to focus on two verses. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And I'm focusing just on that. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. Do I remember sitting on a porch and one of my neighbours, when I lived in the States, walked past and he says to me, "Are you all right?" I said, "Yeah, everything's fine." "Well, do you want to tell your face then?" You know, there's plenty of times as the body of Christ. I have this joke with Andrew that sometimes I'd like to have a kipper in my back pocket that I could slap someone round the head with a kipper just to put a smile on the face. Obviously it wouldn't, but it'll put one on mine. Sometimes we're so miserable. And the sad thing is that as we go about our lives, we take something with us that's contagious. Our misery is contagious. So let's cast that off and let's be full of joy to make that the contagious part of one of the fruits of the Spirit. Robert Louis Stevenson said near to the end of his life, "To miss the joy is to miss everything." Whatever you do, don't miss the joy. And I'm not talking about being happy. I'm talking about what you get from your relationship with God. We can experience this joy, can't we? Yes, Paul, we can. Yeah, there we go. We can experience it. And it doesn't take much. If I smile at you, I'm sure that one or two of you will smile back. Yes. It doesn't take much for us. But joy is one of the things that Satan wants to steal. If he can make you a miserable Christian, you are not going to be contagious at all, other than for the negative. Satan sometimes can be content at seeing you go to heaven, as long as you don't take anyone with you. Are we taking other people to heaven with us? That's the gospel message, isn't it? We're giving a joyful message that's contagious. I've got something. Do you want to know what I've got? Do you want to know what puts a smile on my face? When Ian was talking about how he was moved because he saw the lack in someone's life, and not of their own making, just circumstances. And sometimes we don't recognize what we are thankful for and joyous for. Jesus said, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. What fruit? Because it's okay that we give food out. It's wonderful to give food out if we've got plenty. But there has to be a message with that. There has to be a message about why. Why are we doing it? So that when they ask, well, why have I got this parcel? Why are you putting this food on? Because of the love of Jesus, and I want to give this to you. The fruit of the Spirit is not of human origin. It comes from God. So the only way that you get the fruit of the Spirit is having this relationship with God. It doesn't come any other way. That's why there's a difference between happiness and being full of joy. Because even in my sorrow, it is still well with my soul. I can be joyous even when I'm going through calamity. That's the difference. I know people who are not Christians who are really happy people, and some may even be happier than me. Don't they have joy apart from Christ? It's an interesting dilemma, because we think that it's a bit like this good works. If you do good works don't get you into heaven. But every human being, everyone, are God's children, whether they believe in him or not. They have his DNA in them. That is why they can do good works. That is why they can be happy. Don't think that we have, just because we've got this connection to God, that other people won't do good things and be nice and have integrity. But it makes a big difference when we have this one-to-one connection. Jesus came to get us reconnected to God, because it had been broken, hadn't it? It had been broken. We've been separated from God. He brought that back. The fruit of the Spirit is evidence that we are connected, therefore, to God. You know, there's times in my ministry, and I've come across a lot of people, and they say, how do you know he's a Christian? How do you know she's a Christian? Because it talks about the fruit, doesn't it? You will be known for the love that you show towards one another. There's a fruit that needs to be displayed. There's two kinds of joy: human joy and that spiritual, supernatural joy that we get from our personal relationship with Christ Jesus. One of the best ways we see this difference between Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said, on the night before he was crucified, Jesus knows in such a short time he will be in the garden and Judas will betray him with a kiss. Jesus knows that he'll be arrested and falsely accused by the religious leaders. Jesus knows he'll be beaten, he'll be mocked, he'll be spat upon. Jesus knows that within hours his hands will be pierced and nails driven into the cross. Unbelievable pain and torture is about to begin, and Jesus knows this is going to happen. And he said this to his disciples, John 15:11. You will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Overflow. That means it's not just for you. That what's inside is for those that we come into contact with. Being filled with the joy of Jesus will make our joy complete. Mature. Full. Lacking nothing. And we're not talking about material things, are we? When we're full of joy, I can go through disaster. I can go through hardship. I can go on the bare bones of my backside and have nothing, but still have everything when I have Jesus. Do you know, funny enough, this year we haven't said it that often actually, but when we've come away from Leeds and they've lost, we usually say, it's okay, we've got Jesus. We've not needed to say that too often this year. Praise God, hallelujah. There's still time, is there? No, the wheels are not falling off yet. Hebrews 12:2 says, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame. He faced it no matter what. Full of joy. Are we full of joy this evening? Yes. Tell your face. Here's some of the human elements of joy. Celebration. We celebrate birthdays, don't we? We celebrate all kind. Pardon? Christmas. Christmas. We celebrate Christmas. Maybe an unexpected pay rise. They're always nice, aren't they? Yeah. Yeah. A promotion. We celebrate lots of different things, don't we? Relationships. A joy within a relationship. A family reunion, maybe. A family get-together at holidays, and we're thankful for when they've finished and they all go home. And a joy of being together. Today. Now. You get to see my face. Joy. Joy. When we have achievements, we pass tests. We qualify in something. Or we do some arts and crafts and we have pictures like this. It's lovely, isn't it? Our health and our well-being. That's human joy. When we overcome a cold, a sickness. Well, another 7 pages to go. You think I'm joking? And helping others. We got a lot of joy. And we get a lot of joy every week. Well, what happens at Selby Street? It's fantastic how individuals reach out to those less fortunate than themselves. That's all an expression of our human joy. But you know, it's temporary. It's fleeting. When we win, it's yay. But you know, the next day is the next day, isn't it? With all of its, whatever's in that day. That's temporary. And that's what happiness is. We can be happy today and we can be sad tomorrow. That is not God's joy, is it? Ecclesiastes 12 says, the days of trouble come and the years catch up with you. They will make you say, I found I found no pleasure in them. I don't know who said it, actually. Yeah, I know he did say that. No, someone said something to me this morning. I can't remember who said it. They were saying, do you know, the good old days. Do we remember those? The good old days. 2019 is back there. It's in the past. The good days are the present. The better days, or the latter days, it says in the Bible, are going to be even better. Praise God. We've got something to look forward to. We learn something interesting from Isaiah 51. It says, the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads, and gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. There's something that follows you daily. Goodness and mercy follow you daily. In this particular version, it talks about joy. Goodness and joy follow you daily. Just look behind you. Just turn your head. What's following you? What's behind you? I know there's some scary faces behind you. If you stand up here, you'll see everyone. God's not promising that we won't go through issues. And he's not promising sometimes that we may be on a bit of a downer. Do you know that's okay? That's okay. NBC's highest paid morning person, her name's, if I can pronounce it correctly, Katie Couric, is reportedly unhappy. She's unhappy about today's programme. You know, we have morning TV over here. Well, they do have it over there too. So she's complained and says that her New York Daily News programme, I'm tired. The hours are brutal. It's hard to make yourself get out of bed at 7:30 on the morning just in time for the show. Have a guess what her salary is per year. Give us a guess. Someone shout out. $54,000. $15 million. Any higher than $15 million?
20.
Any higher than $20 million?
22.
$60 million. Any higher than $60 million? It's $65 million she earns a year. And she's unhappy. Shall I tell you what she needs? Joy. It's a wet kipper as well, yeah, it's a wet kipper. But she needs the joy of the Lord. I'd get out of bed for 5% of that. Much I do get out of bed for less than 5% of that. So. But it's the joy that renews our strength. I'm tired. Life's not going my way. Well, wake up. Life isn't always going to go our way, is it? Things are going to come and affect us and hurt us. But those who belong to the Lord renew their strength. They rise up on the wings of eagles. Romans 5:10-11 says, for since we were restored to friendship with God by the death of his son while we were still enemies, we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by his life. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends of God. We've been ransomed. We've been reconciled. You've been called a friend of God. So why are you all still bloody miserable? We're not. Can I see that smile then? We need to be contagious. So 2020 is here. I don't do resolutions. One thing me and the wife are doing is we've got two jars. And in these jars, we've got a prayer of thanksgiving. The things that God is going to do for us that we are just going to be abundantly blessed for in 2020. And then we've got a jar for our prayer requests. And some of these are going to float from this one into this one because they're going to be answered. That's our preparation for this year. What's yours? What are you going to be involved with? Are you going to speak to your neighbour that doesn't know anything about Christ? What are you going to do in order that this joy that lives within overflows and seeps out? Because that's the point, isn't it? That's the whole point of our relationship with Christ. It's not to get me into heaven. That's a done deal. He did that. It's who else can I take with me? What have you got within you that's contagious for someone else? Joy must mark our journey. When I walked into this building, the first part of the building, it was empty. Everybody was in here, those that were here, because I came early. But as I walked in, do you know who I brought in with me when I came in? Jesus. And do you know who I met when I came in here? Jesus. Because if we're a believer, he goes along with us, doesn't he? We can be contagious in every environment that we go into because Jesus is with us. You're going to go through sad times. We all are. I go to a funeral of one of my friends that I grew up with on Wednesday. He was 54 years old. But who am I taking to that funeral? Jesus. And I'm not sure whether or not he was a believer or not. But I am. You are. No matter whether or not you're going to work, you're going down to Selby Street, you're working in the coffee shop here, you're going to Morrison's. Who goes along with you? Jesus. Take the joy of the Lord wherever you go. You've got an intimate relationship with God. Use it for his kingdom, not for your glory. Let's be an example of who God is. Today, will you choose joy in your journey? Let the Spirit of God equip you with his joy. Amen.